That's KC may contain graphic and explicit content that may not be suitable for the ears of some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
In Kansas City is where we are. Listen up now, don't get too far. You tuned in to hear some stories told by two ladies named Hillary. Hey!
Oh, I need to find a Casey fact, too.
Yeah, and I need to do an escape room tip, so.
We have most of it ready by
the time. It's typical.
Okay.
I usually don't. Considering I did my research today,
same.
I'm not ready.
Samesies. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Most of it up there?
Mm-hmm. All right.
You recording? Oh, you've been recording already?
Oh, that's
good. Also difficult. Sometimes I'll just hit record and I don't tell her what she's doing.
No, she doesn't tell me. And I'm just talking about random stuff. I'm like, you ready? She's like, I've been recording. I'm like, damn it.
Oh, boy. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey. That's KC. That is Hillary Batliner.
Are we doing this now? Okay, that's Hillary Holt. Really?
We're going to lull My Favorite Murder today. And we are, so that's KC. As you know or may not know, true crime paranormal of Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas, surrounding areas / either state, whatever we find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this week is True Crime Week, episode 29.
I'm glad you remember.
Yes.
Because I never do.
That's fine. And we also have our, we're recording at what's probably going to be our home now, I guess. Is at the Barrel of the Bottoms.
Our home now?
Our home now.
Are we living here now?
Yes.
What's happening?
Oh, I didn't tell you
my
that
lease
part.
Is enough yet. I can't do that.
Sublease it. A recording home away from your home. Mm-hmm. At Barrel of the Bottoms, it's kind of like a little collaborative thingy, right? Yeah, we have a Steven at this episode of You Listen to My Favorite Murder. It's Ryan.
Steven.
Say hi.
Hello.
Yes, in the Hobbs building in the West Bottoms, which is super awesome.
Yeah.
The little recording studio, and they got a little office and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now it's until the 31st. You can sign up for $50.
Yes. February 1st, I believe.
February 1st?
The cutoff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool. Come in, have... writing sessions on Wednesdays if you need your for your comedy bits. If you aren't already.
God.
Oh gosh. Yeah, it's just a cool little place. You should check it out. Barrel of mm-hmm. the Bottoms. We'll put that link on the info for the episode in on Facebook if I'll remember.
I hope so, because I can't remember anything.
Or Casey. My Casey beverage, I guess. It's
yeah, I don't have yeah. anything, so yeah. Go for it.
That's fine. So I found this at Hy-Vee. It's kombucha. So it's like there's a little bit of alcohol in there in kombucha, if you're familiar with it, by T-Biotics, handcrafted in Kansas City. Well, technically in Lenexa, but that's fine. Hibiscus watermelon. So I'm excited. It looks like this is when I think of kombucha, I think of these bottles for some reason, like the shape.
They look like medicine bottles.
Mm-hmm. Because it's good for your gut.
Oh, my God.
It is.
Every time you say that. Every time.
It sounds gross, but it's good.
It does sound gross, actually.
So, T-Biotics, made in Lenexa. If you're not familiar with kombucha, you do not shake it because it will explode. natural sediment may occur. Yeah, and it's on Facebook, they are the SCOBY Master. And then on Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Pinterest. Meh. T-Biotics as well. So, yeah, it's a cool little thing. I'll give it a little tasty taste. Because I hadn't yet. Oh, that's in. Mm. It's pretty neat. Hibiscus, yeah. I had their cherry lime, and it was good as well. So, it was very good.
That's good.
Yes. Pre-show. What did I say? Oh, I remember now. So do a shout out to I mentioned it before, like the, and that's why we drink, like Snapchat, mm-hmm. groupie.
Oh yeah,
well, groupie thing, not the fitness one, but the other one. I have too many Snapchat mm-hmm. chat groups, and it's a problem.
I have like
now.
12 friends on Snapchat, so yeah. I don't do so.
And I'm
media.
One. I'm part of it.
Yeah.
But it's Leah. She said she listened because we're talking about. I don't remember what we're talking about. She's like, "You're behind the That's KC," and I was like, oh, "Yes, thank you." But she started one called You Made Me Watch This. It's her and her boyfriend, which I listened to the first episode. And he, apparently it's just like, she's like, come watch us. And they'll sit through it. And at the end, he's like, you made me watch this. And then they talk about it. So I think they were talking about one of like the home makeover shows and stuff was their first episode, which was good.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then following in My Favorite Murder, have a correction corner. Because my mom listens to the episodes and tells me how I mispronounce everything wrong. So it's Quapa from the last episode for the Joplin Spook Light. Quapa. Quapa.
How is anybody supposed to know that?
Unless, you
unless
Google
you're
it.
There.
Right.
That's stupid.
So yeah,
she's
like,
stupid right now.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you knew everything. And since we are in true crime and I looked, KC is at, just Kansas City itself, is at 5 homicides.
5?
5.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Last year at this time, it was 7. So that's, at least we're doing that,
mm-hmm.
right? But all are due to firearms, so. Yeah. Yeah, we get a little depressing sometimes on here.
Yeah, most of our stuff is super bummed out.
Yeah.
Like, just, oh, that's okay.
That's why we give fun facts at the end.
We try.
Yeah.
I have a little added info.
Ooh.
To one of my old stories of the Jessica Ray murder.
The
guy who killed his wife and stuffed her in
the sword
in the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, fun fact. Welcome to our podcast.
I enjoy it.
So he, after they arrested Justin, he told them that his wife delivered their baby in the bathtub of the hotel, which is the one out by Arrowhead Stadium, like on I-70 and Stadium Drive, like that hotel out there is where they stayed when she had the baby. He told them that he used a plastic fastener, aka a zip tie, and a shoestring to secure the umbilical cord when he cut it. Then he told her, he told police she died after childbirth, and he placed her in the bed and then took pictures with his wife and kids together.
No.
And then he spent 2 days with her body, Friday and Saturday, before dismembering her and taking her body to the cooler, to the storage facility.
That is,
he admitted cutting up her body in the bathtub and then putting her body parts in the cooler. But what didn't fit in the cooler, he flushed down the toilet or boiled in a pot on the stove.
A stove
so
where? At the hotel?
I don't know. I don't know. If it's like one of those mainstay hotels, maybe there was a stove in there. Yeah, he's a gem. He's a cool guy.
Like, that's a really long way to go from Arrowhead Stadium
to Lenexa.
Lenexa.
Yeah.
That's like...
But and then he also claimed that his rights were being violated and that his children were not staying in the storage unit. I was like, dude, they literally saw you in there for days with your children. Like, you were staying in there with your children. So that's how he got, arrested and whatever.
People
but,
are squatting there.
Yeah. So he's also stating that he's mentally unstable to go to trial. And they're like,
okay.
Shut up. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're fine. But yeah, so that's a little update on that fun story, too. So that was fitting on our true crime whatever
Perfect.
Episode.
It's fun how it works out.
And then also, not really, like, you know how your mom said you did something wrong. My sister is now making she listens now.
Michelle's makes notes.
Yeah, Michelle's making suggestions now as to everyone make a drinking game as to how many times I yawn during the damn podcast. Because every freaking time I do this, I yawn. I don't know what it is. It's like a weird mental trigger. I start reading things and I yawn.
My mom started, she started that at dinner because we went to Le Fou Frog for restaurant week, and she's like, is Hillary gonna yawn every episode?
Yes, I probably am.
I don't know.
I have something wrong with my brain. I don't know.
Maybe. You need to breathe more. Maybe. That's what usually.
What the
that's
hell?
That's usually why
like,
you.
Like, I was like, what the hell?
Usually when you yawn, right. It's because your brain's lacking oxygen.
Well, yeah,
so
but.
Trying to get more.
Well, then I'm just talking too
just
much.
Just hold it, or you're holding your breath too much. Bout of anger, probably.
Probably. That's why my face is red. I'm just like, oh, I just get pissed all the time.
No.
Oh, God, that's funny. But yeah, so everyone enjoy drinking game every time I yawn.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I would, but I wouldn't be able to finish the podcast if I had done that. That would be fun. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to start?
I mean.
I start, but do you want to start saying stories now?
I mean, probably.
Or do you
should.
Have more?
No.
No? No more housekeeping?
No more housekeeping. We house swept.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So mine, of course, is a Debbie Downer, but kind of a weird little twist to it. I just know. Oh, that's my chair.
Yeah, it sounds like a cat.
Yeah, sounds like a cat. We don't have a cat in here. I was like, what is that noise? Okay. So, on a bright Monday morning in the summer of 1990, a 9-year-old Nancy Shoemaker began walking to a store in South Wichita to get a soda for her sick little brother. So, as everyone knows, she then disappeared because every story that starts out with a little kid walking to the corner store, they disappear or they're dead. So she was, her dead body was found 7 months later just outside of the town near Belle Plaine. I don't know where that is. Belle Plaine. Sure. If you don't know, Google it. During questioning on July 17th and 18th of 1991, 54-year-old Donald Wacker, yep, get it out now, informed the police that he was driving down Seneca Street and at the Pawnee intersection. Doyle Lane, who was the passenger in the car, pointed to a girl on the south side of Pawnee. He told Wacker to stop the car so he could get the little girl. Lane left the car, forced the girl back into the car, and then that's when he said he told Lane he didn't want any part of this. Lane told him to shut up and drive, which I was like, okay. My phone just freaked out on me. Wacker then stated he thought Lane would kill him if he stopped driving. So he drove through Derby and stopped just outside the city limits of Belle Plaine near some trees. Lane then pulled the girl out of the automobile, ripped off her clothes, and raped her. Wacker stated at one point he tried to pull Lane off of the girl, but he kept knocking him down. And since he was unable to prevent the assault, he says that he feels a little guilty for that.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So after raping the young girl, Lane strangled her with his hands and a belt. After he killed her, he put her clothes in the back of Wacker's car and said, let's go. He then put the girl's clothing in a trash bin, and Wacker just dropped him back off at his own house.
Nice.
So, cool. Lane has now been on death row ever since he was found guilty and sentenced to death by a jury in San Marcos, Texas in 1994 for a similar kidnapping and murder of an 8-year-old named Bertha Martinez when he was only 18. Records indicate that she was lured to the park, to the city park, by his stepfather and mother when they were claiming to look for their lost dog.
Ugh.
So they kidnapped her. There, she was reportedly raped by the stepfather and by Lane. And then they drove her to a house where she was beaten, strangled, and stabbed to death. They then found her battered and bruised body a few days later in a small shack not far from her home.
So it was like a family affair.
Yeah. So pretty messed up. So almost 12 years later, when he was being questioned about the Nancy Shoemaker case, he confessed to having a part in the crime, but he said that his stepfather and mother forced him to participate in this. Mm-hmm. After he confessed to the Nancy Shoemaker, or to the Bertha Martinez, he actually then confessed to the Nancy Shoemaker one by participating in the kidnapping, but then he says that Donald Wacker made him do it. So in both of these cases, people have made him
right.
do these things.
Right. Oh, so he's not, yeah.
Yeah. However, it gets a little weird because Lane's confessions were actually unusual in a number of ways. His statements about what happened changed frequently during questioning. The details he recounted were inconsistent with facts they already knew, and there was neither physical evidence nor eyewitness testimony linking him to either of the crimes. So there's like no evidence whatsoever telling them that he did it. But the most unusual thing is that it was the situation in which he gave it. So Lane, then 30 years old, and rather like big and burly. He was
burly for some reason.
It's I know, right? It's a fun word. So it gets weird. He was actually sitting in the lap of the police officer when he was taking his statement, with his arm around his neck and his face buried in his officer's in the officer's chest, weeping like a little kid. Psychologists have now determined that Doyle Lane is mentally challenged, mentally disabled, mentally retarded. MR. What do we call this now?
I don't know.
What's the? I'm gonna call
what's
it everything.
The least offensive way. Mentally.
Just don't take offense when I say it.
Mentally. Mental?
Just suck it up. I don't know. Mentally disabled. I don't know.
I don't know.
Basically, I'll get to that. Hold on.
Yeah.
So unstable, doctors believe good. His brain may have been deprived of oxygen during his birth, as his biological father was 74 years old when he was born. Gross. And he died shortly after Lane was born. His mother and her new husband obviously neglected him and later abused him both physically and sexually, which is why he's like, oh, they made me do it. He was placed in a special education classes at school and consistently did poorly there. Eventually, the state of Kansas stepped in, removed him from the home, and sent him to the Brown School in San Marcos, Texas, which is just a school for troubled children, basically, mentally.
All the way to Texas?
Yeah.
Goodness.
I don't know.
What year
was
that?
It was, I mean, like, in the 90s, he was, like, 30, so, like, 60s.
Math.
Says. I did math for once. Testing from his time at the Brown School and later for his appeals in court, it showed that his intellectual functioning and was significantly impaired, and that his full scale IQ is 65 to 67, which is among the lowest 1% of the population, and that his mental and emotional development is that of an 8 to 10 year old child.
Oh wow!
So he really isn't capable of thinking about these things, but also, how do you just come about like your parents make you do this, and then all of a sudden this other random guy makes you do almost the same thing?
Yeah, if you're 8, you still know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So from a 2003 article about him, sorry, oh my god, do you guys hear that too?
Yes.
Like it cracks me up every time.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I just think it's funny. I should just stop moving. So there was an article written about like an interview with him. It says he came in, his head was hanging low as he turned to let the guards remove his handcuffs. When he looked up, his eyes were red, his cheeks were splotchy and wet. He crinkled his face up as he picked up the telephone that allows him to talk to the visitors on the other side. And then he said, quote, "It's hard to talk about. So hard, in fact, that Lane sets down the phone, puts his face in his hands, and cries." No, wait for it. I know your faces. Hold on. Lane is weeping not because he's facing execution, nor even because of his incarceration on death row or because of his crime. He is brokenhearted because the prison officials have moved him to another cell block away from his best friend, Marion.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So now he has no one to talk to, no one to read and write letters for him. And he said, quote, "I really miss him. He was the only one that reads stories to me when I want him to." So Lane says more than once, whining like a, quote, whining like a 7-year-old whose best friend just moved out of town. He keeps crying that he really misses him. He says, "Do you want to see a picture that I drew?" When he's sure no guard is watching, he pulls a pencil drawing from his waistband of his pants to a picture of two of his two best friends, Marion Dudley and Leo Little. Lane says that Dudley is the only other, Marion is the only one that would actually take time to read to him and explain things to him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, okay, that's weird, but
all
right. So they don't think that he's, like, capable of, you know.
Understanding
what he did. But since Lane was convicted of kidnapping, rape, murder, and sentenced to life without parole for 66 years for Nancy Shoemaker, he was also sentenced to death for Bertha's murder in 2000. But and then in 2001, Governor Rick Perry with Texas legislature passed a bill that would have banned the execution of mentally unstable patients and or mentally disabled, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. So he called it, Rick Perry called it unnecessary and vetoed his death sentence. So he's basically just sitting on death row. Sitting that's not row. Ever going to happen.
Drawing crayons, probably.
Apparently. a pencil drawing. A pencil. Get it right. Oh, it's not crayons. Drawing. It's color pencils.
I feel like crayons would be safer.
I think so, too. I don't know. But then for Donald Wacker, I cannot say his name without laughing. I'm sorry. But before his parole hearing in 2009, more than 22,000 people put their names on a petition to keep him behind bars because they think he's going to do something again.
Yeah.
That obviously he's mentally stable enough to know exactly what the hell he was doing and that he couldn't stop it is just a lie. And then they actually had a link to the petition and you can go see all of the people's names, but you can also like sign a petition to keep putting him in jail after he comes up with parole hearings every once in a while. That's so I was good. Like, oh, that's kind of funny. I was like, I might have that's to sign neat. It. But yeah, so Lane is still in prison, just kind of sitting there because he's like an 8 to 10 year old mentally. So people are still debating whether or not he should be, you know, held accountable. But I just think it's a little weird that you get in jail twice for pretty much the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Just in two different states, but yeah.
Yeah, and people made you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people, quote, made him. I would believe maybe the stepfather one.
Yeah.
Probably he made him do it.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, gave him so much shit that he wasn't doing it or, like, demeaned him enough. As typical as it is with like physical and emotional abuse, but
I probably felt like if I do this, then he'll not like hit me in the face,
right? Maybe they'll actually take care of me. But he was 18 at the time, so he was still only like a toddler, basically. With his mental state. Yeah. But yeah, so that is the fun story of Nancy Shoemaker and Bertha Martinez, who were murdered by Lane. But also Wacker, who just stood by and just let it happen.
Yeah.
Bullshit. But yeah, so that's a very short story, but it was super depressing, and I didn't want to have to put more details in there.
Yeah.
Because it grossed me out.
Ugh. Yeah. Yuck.
Uh-huh.
Well, mine is a bit more recent, which I try to not do the recent ones because I want to be able to, like, say this person's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But I can always, you can always update.
Yeah, like I did.
Yeah, like you did.
Yeah.
Like you, have you updated that one twice, right? Or no, that was, though, that was when you found out with the history of your apartment.
Never yeah, mind. That, yeah. Nope, that was Richard Grissom, who apparently kidnapped the girls from my same apartment complex. That's fun. That's a fun story to figure out later. I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for mine, I'm just going to give you a little story just for start with a little storytelling. Oh, okay. So imagine going for a nice walk on a public trail. Maybe it's early in the morning, kind of dark out. Maybe your doggos are with you for some much needed exercise.
mine sure needs it. It's a fat little thing.
Yeah,
she is.
Fat judgmental.
Don't call her squishy
thing.
For nothing.
Yeah. Only for your peaceful moment to be interrupted and you end up lying, you know, motionless on the ground.
Mm-hmm. That escalated quickly.
So this happened to John W. Palmer, David Lennox, Timothy S. Rice, and Mike Darby. Those names, it's fine, I'll get it. It'll sound. So John W. Palmer, 54, was found killed August 19th, 2016, near East Bannister Road and Lydia Avenue in a wooded area. Police have not found out how he died. David Lennox, 67, was found killed February 27th, 2017, in the 9900 block of Walnut Street, shot just a few steps away from his front door while walking one of his dogs. Timothy S. Rice, 57, of Excelsior Springs, found dead April 4th, 2017, inside a shelter at Minor Park, near East Red Bridge Road, and 110th Street. And then Mike Darby, 61, co-owner of Coach's Bar and Grill at 103rd Street.
Mm-hmm. I love Coach's.
Yeah.
Sad day for him.
And, yeah. Oh, man, that poor family has, because then it also, like, flooded, too. And it's not. Yeah. So at 103rd and Warnell Road, he's found slain on the trail around 6:30 a.m. on May 18th, 2017, about a half mile east of the bar. So if you're not, if those aren't sounding familiar, you may have known of these as the Indian Creek Trail murders.
Yep. Now I know.
But oh boy, there are so much more to it. So police said on May 19th, 2017, they were investigating obvious similarities, in quotation marks, among four unsolved homicides along the same trail system, one on the Blue River Trail and three along the Indian Creek Trail since, So since August 2016, the four victims have been killed, all white men between the ages of 54 and 67. Three were walking their dogs on the trail system or close to it. As stated, detectives are aware of the similarities and are actively investigating all four of the homicides, said Kansas City Police spokeswoman Captain Stacy Graves in an emailed statement. At this time, there's no physical evidence, so at that time, that suggests these cases are related, but the possibility is being reviewed. When I saw this, and then the Casey Murderino like Facebook page, we're all like, obviously this is a serial killer, right? Like, these are all connected, definitely.
Yeah. I was like, they're all literally the same thing.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. Same area, same thing, everything. So then, Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker announced charges on August 29th against Frederick Scott, who was a suspect in the Indian Creek Trail murders and another homicide at 67th and Troost. At a news conference August 29th, Kansas City Police Chief Rick Smith named 22-year-old Frederick D. Scott as a suspect in the two fatal shootings and said the investigations are ongoing. And he's also considered a suspect in another homicide in the area.
Lovely.
Little Jim. Gene Baker said he faces... Frederick. Faces first-degree murder and armed criminal action charges in the murders of 57-year-old Stephen Gibson on August 13th, 2017. No, wait. 2016. I forget what the date. August 13th, near 67th and Troost, and 54-year-old John Palmer found dead near East Bannister and Lydia Avenue on August 19th, 2016. Okay, so it's 2016. Yeah.
Glad we've established that.
So it's the beginning of, like, before the Indian Creek Trail, whatever it's called. These murders would prove to be his downfall because the investigators were able to use DNA evidence linked to Frederick to the murders of Gibson and Palmer. Because of the surveillance video showed of the victim, Steve Gibson, on an ATA bus, the man exits the bus with him and is seen following him, getting closer and closer and closer. The man following the victim is carrying and drinking from a bottle, and the camera pans away at the time of the homicide. DNA from the screw top bottle, rookie mistake, found at Gibson's homicide scene matched the DNA found on a shirt. Also at the Palmer homicide scene, DNA from a cigarette that Scott was smoking was also matched from that bottle, and KCPD detectives recovered that cigarette after Scott identified himself to police. You never leave evidence behind. We also sometimes give you tips on how to not be caught as a murderer.
So we can't be held accountable for anything that happens after.
Because you could from us. Because you could also Google it. In June of 2017, this all works. More than a month after Mike Darby's murder, police released a video of a person they wanted to identify. So he's just not paying attention whatsoever to any surveillance. He's just like, bah, I'm gonna kill.
He doesn't care.
And he didn't. He doesn't care. The video showed a figure with a backpack walking down a path along Indian Creek Trail the same day Derby was murdered. The video appears to have been recorded at 5:47 a.m. and police found Darby's body around 6:30 a.m. on May 18th after he was discovered by a bicyclist. Ugh. Prosecutors say Scott admitted to them that he is the man in the video, but he has not been charged in Darby's murder. So not charged in all of the other ones. But he Frederick. I keep wanting to say Kendrick for some reason. It's close enough. There's just an F instead of a K,
Kendrick,
right?
Frederick.
Right. Frederick remains in custody in the Jackson County jail with a requested bond to be set at $1 million, but ended up being half of that at $5,500. So, yeah, it's still considered a suspect in the three homicides on the Indian Creek Trail.
What happened?
I had a stroke. Okay. But as of now, there is not enough evidence to charge him in those cases. So that's probably something we have to follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
So try to find something as close as possible. But the most updated was for like October 6th. And then we stated from Baker, we expect today's announcement, the announcement of back to Gibson and Palmer, that charge. Some of my stuff is out of order, okay? We expect today's announcement may calm some concerns in the South Kansas City area in regards to the shooting of men walking in the area. Just kidding, it's about the trail. Baker said, everyone will follow along, right? But I want to make it clear that today we are only charging the defendant in two of those murders, and we need the public's help in solving all five of these homicides. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, math says that's right. Baker urged members of the public with information to please come forward. We are especially interested in his acquisition, his use and disposal of guns and ammunition.
Yeah.
Now, if you heard shots in the area of these homicides, we're asking you to please call us if you're having the defendant in any area, if you've seen the defendant in any of the area of these crimes, or generally in the South Kansas City area, please call us. Any little piece of information may be very well be of great value to this team standing around me. So there's, in the, if you watch the video, there's people standing around here.
I think we can picture that.
She released several other photos of Frederick Scott in the hopes that someone in the public might recognize him and be able to provide information to law enforcement. Okay, nice. So I put some information out of order, whatever. But we just know he's in custody and he's off the streets at least. But also, so after those being charged in August for Gibson's and Palmer,
mm-hmm.
on Friday, October 2nd, 2017, he was charged at the age of 22, is charged again as police believe he shot and killed Karen Harmayer, 64, in July.
Jake, he's 22?
Mm-hmm. So 22 when he was charged, so about 21 when mm-hmm. he was doing the other.
Jesus.
When he started all of this. And charged again, so they in July. Her body was found in Grandview. Prosecutors charged him Friday with first degree murder and armed criminal action related to her death.
Mm.
So he's just a little gem, but it was like a lot of articles. I wanted to try to do like clickbait and stuff. Said that he stated that he wanted to kill himself and all white people. I was like, all right. Let's settle. You're trying to get clicks right now. See, it's very possible he said it, but also it's something that it's probably not mentally
mm-hmm.
stable or sound or something. Something triggered that just because knowledge of serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
So that something has triggered that reaction, and that's why. Not saying it's okay, obviously.
We're not condoning
in case anyone
this.
Was concerned.
We're not condoning his actions.
We're not condoning his actions. But also, there's... there's most likely a reason, because there's a lot of probably anger in that 22-year-old body.
Mm-hmm. Well, like we've said, the brain is not fully developed.
No.
Already, so.
That's why you don't
this is great.
Smoke things until you're 25 when your brain's fully developed, according to a Facebook video.
Yeah,
that
okay. Sure.
Oh, boy. But yeah, that's Frederick Scott.
I did not.
That's okay. Fine. Never so you're not. You chair. Haven't yawned though.
I have not yawned.
Not yawned.
I've been really trying not to yawn.
No yawning.
I'm thinking about it this whole time.
Speaking
actually.
In the chair, so you make like... some noise at some point.
Damn it! Every time.
Every time. Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. Do you have your?
Yeah.
Escape room tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very very short one. Mm-hmm. Let's say escape room tip number. 71. I don't know. I just make up numbers. We don't actually keep track. 71.
I never write them down.
Yeah. I still haven't gone back to any of the other ones to see what we've done yet. Yeah. So this one is it's not even for really an escape room, but it kind of is. Go to the freaking bathroom before you come in. Oh, my God. It is so irritating when we have to tell person after person after person mm-hmm. after person to go to the bathroom because you're going to be locked in there for an hour. And a lot of people are like, oh, no, we don't have to go. And then we say, oh, you're going to be in there for an hour. I should probably go. No shit. That's why I just told you to go.
Yeah.
Because it is suggested for everyone to go to the damn bathroom. And I don't understand it.
Yeah. Especially when they come in back. How long were you in here?
An hour.
It's an hour.
Yeah.
It stayed on
the website. Just know what you're going to do before you even come in, too.
Right.
Yeah. You're in there for an hour. So go to the bathroom.
You're going
to
be, you're going to be in an escape room between some, if it's small, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe. 30, 40 minutes to an hour.
Especially with younger children. Make them go to the bathroom. How many times have we seen people leave the room for about 15 minutes because their little kid has to go to the bathroom in between? Mm-hmm. They miss out on their game time.
They're saying, no, I don't need to go.
Like, yeah.
You should just make them.
Just make them go.
Bring them go.
Don't make them go by themselves.
Right.
But make them go.
Yeah. Don't. Especially like that if it's inside of a public place where there's exits, three separate exits.
Yes. There's more than that.
Well.
Down where we are.
Down where we are. No. There's an elevator too right by there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not,
yeah, not a great lot of exits. No.
Place.
Nope. But yeah, so that's escape room tip number, what did I say? Number 71. I forget the damn number. Go to the bathroom before you go into the damn escape room. It's very irritating. Yeah.
Speak now or forever hold to your peas.
Can you start saying that to, like, corporate groups that come in?
I've said it a couple times.
To corporate groups?
Sometimes. If I read the room.
I feel like if... Yeah.
I learned to
normally
read
I'm
room.
Just yelling at them.
So yeah.
They don't listen.
But they don't listen. But yeah.
Adults don't listen.
I'll say that sometimes. And then they'll laugh. And be like, but for real, though.
But for real.
But seriously.
Don't do that.
Go to the bathroom.
And then also don't ask us, oh, is there a corner in the room?
It's not funny.
Like, no, and I'm going to make you clean it up, too, because that's disgusting. People are weird.
Yeah.
They're gross.
It's just like, don't.
I don't like them.
No. We're not your friend. Don't make those jokes.
We've heard them before and they're not funny.
No. Then after, if you say you've probably heard this before, you're right.
Yes,
and don't say it again.
You are correct. So you don't have to continue with what you're about to say.
Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Casey, fun fact.
I know this. Well, thinking about it makes sense, I guess. But more than 25 colleges and universities call the Kansas City area home.
25?
25.
What?
I know. There's like UMKC, Rockhurst, KCAI. KCI is an airport. KCAI.
Technically, it's MCI now. It's not KCI. It's MCI.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the same damn thing.
It's all.
It's called like Fly KCI, but then you look up like the MCI airport. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
All the same.
We can't decide.
MCC, but technically has five different colleges. Five campuses, one college.
Oh, yeah.
Metropolitan Community College, yeah. JUCO, Johnson County Community College, for people who don't know.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it. I guess KU, maybe, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes 45 minutes to get there.
I mean, they have, like, different campuses, too. Like, Edwards campus is closer.
True. Satellite campuses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I know, so I don't have to look it up.
I don't know. But, I mean, like, in St. Joe, there's
stuff, too.
I don't know. But a lot of people are, like, Kansas City.
They do that
for, like, 5 miles around Kansas City. It's like, no, that's not Kansas City.
Probably like 20
Once
miles.
You start calling it a different city, that's not Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. That's what Independence is.
Independence is not Kansas City. It's Independence.
Kansas City East to some people.
Lee Summit is not Kansas City. It is Lee Summit.
Yeah.
Overland Park, even. That is Overland Park. Like, it drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it like the metro area. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can call it the area. It's not Kansas City, though.
No, Kansas City metro.
So stupid.
Area, not. Or not. It's not also just not just Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Heaven, oh, goodness. Man. People get very, very mad.
Mm-hmm. People get very confused, and they have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Especially where we work, like, coming in from people from, like, all over. They're like, where do we go for the... Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Where's the best place to eat around here? I'm not a travel agent.
Know what you want. There's a lot of places.
I know of a lot of places. We can tell you the answers, but I don't want to.
No.
You should do that on your own.
Yeah.
Be an adult. I think I say that almost every single day.
Google it.
Where's the bathroom? I don't know. Go out there. Look, be an adult.
Look, be an adult.
You can use your eyes.
Where's the post office? I don't know. It's not down here. Did you try looking upstairs?
There's a whole other floor to look for. Go look up there.
There he is.
It's so irritating.
Please.
This be is an why adult America don't is be a dick.
In the condition it's in, because people don't try and look for themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. We do that sometimes. I went there.
Don't feel we bad about it. We always go there. What are you talking about?
I know. Go there, we get goofy, and then we're just like, meh, okay. Before, because I went to Party Art on Saturday before we went, which was fun. And then
it looked like it was fun.
Yeah. It's always fun there. You're partying inside a museum. You're drunk next to Smart. Mm-hmm.
Which is probably not a good thing.
There's still people at work there. They're
okay,
just like,
that's good. Getting drunk next to some art, next to...
Watch it. And like, most of it is like, touch it. you're herded around. Uh-huh. Because there's only, like, a couple statues, and it's Kirkwood Hall and then Roosevelt Court. Okay. And then
so you're not,
block.
Like, yeah.
So you're not, you're not in most of it. The rest of it is, like, blocked off. Like, up to the stairway to get into Kirkwood, there's, there's always, it's marked off. It's, like, LED light, like, little walls.
No one else can know what your
I know.
Hand gestures are.
I'm doing hand gestures to symbolize a hallway.
Oh, I still didn't know what that meant. But yeah, okay.
But yeah, I was at a friend's house. We were getting ready, and we were watching Made in Manhattan. And it was...
What's that movie?
With Jennifer Lopez. And she's the maid at, like, a hotel or something.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that once.
It's, like, early 2000s-ish. And it's funny because she was telling her son. He, like, asked a question. She's like, I don't know, just Google it when you get to school. And I was like,
yes. I don't know. Google it.
I don't know, Google it. It's been said since whenever that movie was made.
Uh-huh. Yep, I guess so.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty neat. That was pretty quick. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
How long are we recording?
I don't know, it's very weird.
It's 42.
Oh, probably. Okay.
It's about average, yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, it's probably. It's very weird not seeing, like, a little, like, number in front of us.
I know.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh. Yep. And that's Casey.
We messed up.
Oh, that's okay.
I was laughing at the fact that we just kept going, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet. Okay, bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
See you next week. Maybe, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Don't forget you can listen to That's KC on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. If we are not on your favorite podcast directory, let us know. You can chat with us on the Twitter or Instagram at That's KC Pod and Facebook at That's KC. If you'd like to help keep the local liquor, food, and this podcast flowing, you can support us on Patreon. If you have suggestions for local Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas food and drink, or, you know, would like to send us something, wink, wink, please send us an email to thatskcpod@gmail.com. P.S. If you have your own local story you would like to share or have a suggestion for us to research, we'd love to hear from you via email. Oh, intro music is provided by Brian Lawson. Okay, bye!